WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshall guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk. This is your Memorial Day edition, 2018. We are live. We have a great show lined up for you, starting after we check traffic, and hopefully there isn't a lot. I actually sped here, doing the speed limit, of course, but I cruised here quickly, and traffic was good. But Brian Edwards will, of course, tell us in a couple of moments as to how things are happening out on highways and byways. We will speak with Nicole and Dan Feeney. Do you recognize those names? Well, these two are parents of three girls. Twins and a young lady named Shelby, and they're doing some work on their home, and it became a news story, not just a news story that you heard here on WATD, because you did hear it here, but it was a news story that that made news in the Boston area. I think it might have went national too. They'll be able to tell me further if it did go national, but it was a story that a lot of folks heard about, where there was kind of a little bit of an issue with a neighbor who wasn't too happy about what they were doing in regards to home improvements to kind of help their daughter, Shelby, who has CHARGE syndrome. As she's growing, they want to make sure that she can be in her home for a long, long time. A little bit of an issue with a neighbor who was opposed initially. We'll kind of speak with Nicole and Dan Feeney about that. They are Whitman residents. And speaking of Whitman, Richard Rosen will join us. Richard will stop by and chat with us about the annual 5K road race that's coming up, the ninth annual. And then we'll also get to talk with him about... I actually brought him back a gift from Italy, as Christine James. I brought her back a gift as well. I brought her back something from the Vatican. The Vatican City gift shop. I know that she's very religious, so I brought her back a little something-something. I even have some... Actually, I had a chance to go to... a number of stops around Italy during the week between the last time you heard my voice and now, where I went on around the Amalfi Coast, went to Rome. I even went to Mount Etna, and climbed up to the crater, got some lava rock, even brought Ben something back. He's very surprised that he's like, "This for me?" No, of course it's for you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's really appreciated, you know?
Now, if you want, I actually have a collection that I got from the Mount Etna, which the last time it actually was active was in 2001. That's when it had erupted. And so I actually have some lava rock. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
If you're interested. Really, if not, well, there are others who might want it.
Scientifically speaking, Kevin, yes. I'm in.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I'm sure I have them here somewhere in my computer bag, and I'll make sure that I let you have one, because it's pretty cool. It's pretty unique. It's seeing how the lava flowed. I must have taken like 6,000 pictures. It's crazy. Not just of the lava flow, but during the whole trip to Sicily and around different ports of Italy, even winding up in Venice. It's pretty cool. I actually had my first piece of pizza or pie, whatever you want to call it, from, actually, I went, I gotta check my cards here, Positano, which is a cute little, right off the Amalfi Coast. It's like a little village, just like built into the side. I'm just kind of showing, and Nicole and Dan are kind of just sitting here, and that's the Of course, this is radio. It's not a visual medium. Only the folks who hear from it can see it. But it was pretty cool to take that trip, as Christine had kind of alluded to upon, mentioning that I am back from that trip. Second hour, we're going to talk a little bit about recreational marijuana. It's an ongoing conversation. And there's a new chapter being written right now in the city of Brockton. We'll talk about that. And then we have Kim Delaney. She is the sports princess. Usually whenever we have a unique holiday like Memorial Day, I like to have a guest who is somewhat, and you're going, oh, the sports princess, what does she get to do about Memorial Day? Well, you think of Memorial Day as a day that we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, that defended our country, lost their life protecting our very freedoms. And one of the things I feel that are a part of those very freedoms, it's a matter of freedom of speech. Well, the NFL recently, you remember last year, there was a little bit of an issue in regards to whether to stand or kneel, and there was a protest. There was a silent protest. I'll discuss that more at around 7:30. But the NFL has now invoked, they put together a policy. Ooh, a policy. Which will come with penalties if you dare kneel. And so we'll speak with Kim Delaney, who is from NBC Sports. We'll talk with her about that and get her take on this new policy that is going to be going into effect next season. But right now, I'm going to pull things off to the side of the, right off to the shoulder here, and check WATD traffic being brought to you on this end by Brennan's Smoke Shop, online at brennansmokeshopma.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And cruising the highways and byways is the mighty Brian Edwards. Brian, how are you, sir?
Kevin Tachi's in the house this Monday night. Hi, Kevin. How are you? Happy Memorial Day to you.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Rocking and rolling. How's everything out there?
Oh, hey, Kevin, you know in years past that we have had some horrific Memorial Day drives, but today's not that day. It is really something easy out there. This report is service of unbound.org. We have no delays on Cape getting over the Sagamore Bridge or the Bourne Bridge coming up through Falmouth on 28. 495's looking smooth right up past Route 24, and 24 itself is a breeze up to 128. No problems on the lower end of 128. Route 3 from the Cape to Braintree is trouble-free with light volume, and you have no problems on the expressway as well. Just like children here, kids across the world have big dreams for their future. Give one child the opportunity for a better tomorrow at unbound.org. You get traffic on the nines every morning. Brian Edwards in the WATD Traffic Center. Make it a great and safe evening.
Memorial Day. It's a day we go to our numerous memorials throughout this great country of ours and remember the ultimate sacrifices made. Our brave men and women have given countless lives and countless limbs so that we can enjoy our many comforts here in America. Lives and limbs were given for you, me, and everyone that calls this land home. These memorials stand year-round as constant reminders, but on Memorial Day, we beautify and remember them with flags, flowers, and families. American families that will always honor their loved ones by living their lives freely. Americans, do not give one inch of your rights, freedoms, and liberties. As the saying goes, if you give them an inch, they will take a mile. If we give up anything, we dishonor the ultimate sacrifices made on our behalf. As Americans, we should expect more freedom, never anything less than we already have. Happy Memorial Day from everyone at Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we're back for the first segment of Monday Night Talk. And with me is Nicole and Dan Feeney. Welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you for having us.
And they have a very unique story. As I try to tease a little bit, as I give you the show rundown, the first couple of moments of the program, these are two people who have a home. They have three beautiful children. One of them has Charge Syndrome, Shelby, and they actually did a fundraiser to kind of do some improvements to their home. They'll kind of give us a rundown as to some of the things that they have to do in order to accommodate and help Shelby be able to, as she grows, be able to be a part of the family and be able to enjoy whether she wants to go into the kitchen and grab something to eat or be able to go up to the second level, things like that. Well, it was an interesting story because you would think that they took the care of doing the right thing, going to the town. This is what we want to do. You know, you go through the proper channels. I want a building permit. This is what we're going to do. To have someone one day come to your door. We'll leave it at that. But the idea here is I would say that there's a happy ending, but we don't want to put the cart before the horse. If you will, kind of talk to us a little bit about the project when you first wanted to start out with improving your home for Shelby. And if you will, please remind me as to your twin daughters as well.
So our twins are Elise and Tamsin.
Thank you very much.
So Shelby has CHARGE syndrome, and CHARGE looks different in each child that has it. But for Shelby, that means that she's developmentally delayed and she's medically complex. She's visually impaired and she has hearing impairments as well. She has a tough time moving around, so she'll crawl around the house or scooch around on her back. And she does walk with the assistance of a mobility device called a gait trainer. And we knew that we wanted to stay in our home. We couldn't afford to move, and we'd still have to make modifications to a home if we bought a new house. So we decided to hire Bayesian Blue Designers. They're a universal designer, and they took a look at our house and our plans of what we wanted to do, and we're basically making it Shelby's dream home. It's going to be perfect for her. So we're adding two accessible bathrooms, a half bath on the first floor, right off the new accessible kitchen. We're widening all of the doorways and taking out the thresholds throughout the house. And then the upstairs, she gets a new bedroom with closet space for all of her medical devices and equipment, and then a shower that she can roll into with her gait trainer or walk into, and a toilet that she can use too. So those are like the structural changes that we're making to the house, but we have to do things like add extra lighting in for her vision impairment. We're using paint in really creative ways so that way then she can, you know, when you pull open the cabinet drawers in the kitchen, there'll be a different color paint inside the cabinet, so that way then she has depth perception when she's reaching in to the cabinets to pull stuff out. We'll paint the doorways yellow because it's her favorite color.
Oh.
And then that way then she can tell when she's transitioning rooms that she's leaving one space and entering another space. So we're doing a lot of neat physical changes to the house, but also like little details that she will specifically need to help her live and enjoy the house.
Mm-hmm. Din, I would ask you, I mean, give me your thoughts on, you know, planning this out. I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of late nights between you and the missus sitting and going, what do we want to do? How do we want to do this? Because it's not, anybody who's done home improvements to their house, it's not easy. And then when you're doing it for a child who has some of the needs that Shelby has, you say, hey, okay, well, we have to think of this, we have to think of that. And this is the house that was built at this point in time. We need to modify and, of course, stay within code for whatever the town's building codes are.
Right, yeah. So our house was built in 1910. So it's a colonial. It's, you know, it's got, I guess, smaller doorways. Kind of, yeah. So like Nicole said, you know, all the doorways had to be widened and everything. But just deciding, you know, how we were going to lay it out and everything is, you know, is, I mean, even just going into a building project, you know, can be kind of daunting and scary and overwhelming. You know, but we had a lot of support from family and friends and, you know, a wonderful architect that helped us, you know, draw our plans, you know, in ways that we never would have thought, like, that rooms would fit together. You know, but they made the process a lot less
seamless.
Scary. Yeah.
Seamless?
Yep.
So you embark on this, and this by no means is not inexpensive. You're talking, this is a costly project, probably. Mm-hmm. Almost like you're going to be purchasing a building, a second home, a smaller home almost, right?
Yep.
We're talking almost close to $200,000 around there?
Yes,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah, it was a little scary when we got the contractor bids back. I was like, oh, well, I didn't realize it was going to be this much.
What did you think? Would you at first? Because that happens to everybody, where you kind of get the sticker shock. You're like, oh, it shouldn't be more than this. And then you see it, you go, oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
we just realized we're going to have to do a lot of fundraising for this. And again, because there are a lot of extras that you may not need in your house if you put on an addition, but we need to do for Shelby to make it appropriate for her to live in. So we knew that was why the sticker price was a little bit more than somebody else's addition would be.
But you're not planning on going anywhere for a long, long time.
No.
I mean, you love the community that you're in.
Yes, yep. That was why we wanted to stay. We love our neighborhood, and we love being in Whitman.
So you get ready, you get the building permits, and you start. Construction gets underway last fall, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, was there a second phase that was actually you were going into? I mean, first you start out with the foundation.
So we got a foundation permit in the fall of 2017 because we wanted to pour before the ground froze. So the foundation was in, and then we got the rest of the building permit in January of this year. So the structure was being built from January until about March. It was up, the exterior was up completely in March, and then that's when things had a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah, kind of talk to us. When you actually were made aware that maybe not everybody in the neighborhood was thrilled with the fact that somebody was doing a little home improvement right. to their home.
Right. Yeah. So the end of March, our neighbor had come next door, and this was just after all the side was the floors were up, the roof was on, and they came over and said that they weren't happy with the project, that they felt it was going to decrease their home value, and that it loomed over their house.
How does that make you feel as a parent? Both of you, each individually answer, because I know how I have three kids, and I'm blessed that my children are healthy, but if they needed something, I think any parent would go through any extra extent to make it comfortable for like you have done.
Right. I was confused and I was upset. You know, I couldn't understand why they had waited so long to tell us, and just in general why this would be, you know, such a problem for them, or why they would think it would be such a problem for them when it really didn't seem like it would have been any kind of problem for them.
Right. One would think, and if somebody thinks if somebody's wrong, they want to call and tell Ben or relay something through Ben. They can feel free to. I'm not opening the phone line, so Dan's like, no, what are you doing? But no, I'm pretty sure that when folks are doing improvements to their homes, property values go up.
Right.
Yes.
They go up. They don't decrease.
Right.
It's when somebody is, they don't do any work to their home, and they let their house go, and it's, this every community has a house, so you drive by, and like, oh my, who lives there? And they got all kinds of vehicles parked, and
we don't have garden gnomes and Christmas lights up anymore.
It's not to be negative about any, but there's every community is somebody who, you know, they just kind of they live from inside out, and maybe there's, you know, their lawn is filled with things that they collect. Who knows? But your home is not like that,
right? And ironically, before we purchased our house, that's what the house looked like. I actually have pictures of it from neighbors. That it used to look like a haunted house before we moved
really?
In.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what did you go? What did you do from there? What was the approach from there? You have somebody who's come to you and says, "Do you ponder and say, hopefully it's just somebody expressing how they feel, or was there another shoe that dropped where you were made aware of any kind of legal action?"
So after she knocked on the door that morning, Dan had to go to work, so I called the building inspector, pretty panicked, saying, "What does this mean? What do we need to do?" And it was in that phone call that we learned that the neighbor had been in to see the building inspector and had asked a whole bunch of questions, and he had let them know that if you're unhappy with the building permit, this is the process that you go through to appeal it. And we didn't hear anything for a week, so we kind of thought, okay, maybe the building inspector was able to really show them if you continue with this, he said your goal is to have them tear down and start again. And we were kind of hoping, knowing he said that they were going to be deterred. And then the next week we got a letter from their attorney saying that, citing some law but the building inspector said that it was an inaccurate use of that law, and that we had to stop, and it was an illegal building permit. So they didn't technically follow the process the building inspector told them that they needed to. They went right to an attorney, so that was a week after the knock on the door.
Okay. And it's interesting, and I will say that, not to put any names out there, but I happen to know the building inspector in the town. And he's usually a guy, and I've seen many a project and many things that he has been, you know, on the record for, any conversations that I've had. And some of the major capital projects the town has had, and he's usually somebody who is, he follows right, letter of the code. Mm-hmm. You know, letter of the law, he's right on top of it. And if there was a problem with your project, mm-hmm. he would have been forthright and mm-hmm. say, hey, this can't happen.
Right.
So that's one, you know, check mark in your favor, so to speak. So you decided to do something that was I found interesting, and that was you decided to go and approach the zoning board. Is that correct?
Correct. So we ended up needing to get an attorney for ourselves, just so we would be protected, and we decided to be proactive that we would go before the zoning board in Whitman and ask them to just affirm our building permit, and then we would have like another official document saying that this is okay. So that's the route we decided to go, and that we had that meeting on May 14th.
And it was a quiet room, huh? There was not a person in the room.
So our approach up until this had to be to keep this kind of quiet, because, you know, we wanted to be respectful mm-hmm. of our neighbors, even though we knew that we weren't doing anything wrong. Our immediate neighbors also knew. But then the Monday before the meeting, their attorney called our attorney and said, like, we're going to take this to litigation if the board does side with you. And it wasn't until that Thursday before the hearing that I was like, we got to put this on Facebook and have people stand up and support us.
Mm-hmm. And what was the support like, Dan? What I mean, I know you're kind of more of a spectator than somebody who was, your missus was really, really active out there.
She's the brains and the heart behind the whole operation.
Everybody heard amazing. That, right? Everybody heard that.
On the record. It'll be a podcast too, Dan, so be careful.
But the support that we received from all of our neighbors, from other people in Whitman, from people outside of Whitman, was just incredible. You know, just the fact that people that don't know us just wanted to come out and support us. You know, like you said, or like you were
alluded to,
you yeah. know, there were so many people at that meeting that the chairman actually had to ask people to
quiet down,
and to, you know, that because of the open meeting laws, they had to either come inside the room or they had to leave, you know, in order to get everybody into the room for it to be
a
legal hearing.
How'd it feel?
Overwhelming.
It was awesome. You know, we got there early because we knew it would be crowded. And at one point, I was like, I can't keep turning around because I'm just going to cry when I look at all these people that I know and don't know, the sea of faces that just wanted to love us and support us. It was mm-hmm. awesome.
Anyone trying to make life better for their kids, I mean, how do you not win at that, you know?
Right.
It's just one of those things. So mm-hmm. property values aside and all that other fun jazz, good on you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good so basically, you just did a Charlie Sheehan winning. Is that what you said?
Sure, we'll do the hashtag okay. on that.
Winning. All right, just checking. So what has happened? So what happened immediately after you actually got word that maybe the neighbor was reconsidering her actions?
So, as I mentioned, the Thursday before when their attorney called ours, I was like, I have got to get this up on Facebook, and in the Whitman Pride group, put it up there. And then somehow the news heard, and they came out and interviewed us on Mother's Day. So that was Sunday. And then all of the other news heard. And Monday afternoon, we met with our attorney before the hearing, and he let us know that Monday morning they decided to drop their complaint. And it was basically because it was out on the news and word got around what they were doing. So it wasn't until Monday morning they dropped their complaint, and it's because people heard.
The attention. Mm-hmm. So right now you're not living in the house. You're staying with mom and dad?
With my parents in East Bridgewater, yeah.
But eventually construction's going to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have to be neighborly. How are you ready? Are you ready to approach this?
So we are still popping back into the neighborhood, and we've already been been in contact with them, and they're caring for their yard, and I'm waving, and they're not acknowledging us, and they're not acknowledging the other neighbors.
So it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Just be neighborly. Do your thing. You guys know you already have the upper hand on it. They're just trying to save what little face they can at this point.
But I hope in that, because, I mean, what was the relationship prior to this?
We live on a really friendly street, and for them, they're commuters. They kind of have a different lifestyle than we did. Like, we have kids, so we sit at home and out in the front yard and the backyard, and they, you know, pop in and out for groceries, doing the lawn and stuff like that, but they weren't necessarily living on their lawn like we do and the rest of the neighborhood does. So, you know, hi and a wave.
It's always been friendly.
It's always been friendly.
So you're kind of hoping that one day that at least you can mend the fences, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because when I had a chance to interview and chat with you, you were kind of like, "Oh, we want to be good neighbors, and we'll still say hi." And how do you do that? Because I know me, I might be. It may take me a little bit before I was neighborly. Go hi. I'd be like, you know. Of course, again, radio not being a visual medium, I might be a little bit more apt to, you know, kind of just avoid talking to them.
You just do it. You just got to swallow your own pride and, you know, whatever is going on in your heart, and just do the right thing.
So what do you do from here? So where do things stand in regards to the construction project, fundraisers? Now, this is your opportunity to tell the folks who are listening, you know, do you have a page or something in regards to this ongoing project?
So, yes. So we have a GoFundMe page, and you can search on GoFundMe, but it's Shelby's Home Medical Trip and Van, and it should come up that way. We've also been sharing it on Facebook, or you could search the hashtag I'm with Shelby on Twitter, and you'll be able to get to the GoFundMe that way. But yeah, so we are fundraising through that, again, for all the extra lighting and the special flooring and the things that we have to do. It does add up, and we're still building.
Yep,
we're still building.
Yep,
and
it's chugging right along.
Anything you want to say in closing, maybe a lesson learned, because that's what life's about, is learning a lesson, no matter how old you are, whether you're 5, 15, or an older guy like me. You know, you're always learning something.
I just think the power of kindness is really important, and that even when people are nasty or unkind to you, that you will never regret being kind to somebody.
Excellent. Well, again, we've been speaking with Dan and Nicole Feeney, who are here telling their story in regards to, you know, wanting to improve their home and having somebody who wasn't on board with it at first. But, well, you're victorious, and hopefully this project will see the end, and there'll be a happy ending when Shelby walks into the house, goes into the home, and gets acclimated to all the new features and the new colors of her home as she grows and thrives in that community.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to step aside. And when we come back, we have Richard Rosen on deck. Talk a little bit about McGuigan's Pub and their 9th annual 5K road race coming up this weekend. You are listening to Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
The Yugo Motor Car, introduced 1977. Proudly displayed in shopping malls across America, at $4,000, it was the cheapest new car you could buy. And the Yugo exceeded all expectations of cheapness. It would not start, it would not go, the windows would not open. Enter Tony. Fix it again, Tony. He got his Yugo to start, he got his Yugo to go. In fact, the Yugo replaced all his hobbies, except one, kayaking.
Plop the kayak in the back hatch, hit a bump, rear window whacks the bow, the window pops out unbroken. The Yugo, tough as glass.
I'm Peter from Tiny & Sons Glass in Pembroke. We've never had to replace a windshield in a Yugo, but for all you non-Yugo drivers out there, we do replace your windshields. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, segment two, featuring the one and only Richard Rosen. Richard, as he was boasting as Dan and Nicole were walking out, he goes, yeah, you know, normally I'm the co-host. He's right. He normally is the co-host here. But because he's such a busy guy, he's in high demand. He's just doing a hit and run with the missus.
Well, I'm happy to be here tonight, Kevin. It's unfortunate I couldn't be here for the whole show, and I know everybody in the studio was upset because I didn't bring in any food.
No, I'm actually happy that you came in, because when you and I were chatting, I mean, I had just gotten into town late last night, and I'm like, I wanted to make sure that I had talked earlier about I grabbed something from Vatican City for my for our managing news director, Christine James. I got her a little something from the Vatican City gift shop. And I thought you, being a local beekeeper, guy with a very popular cable show, if I might add, I thought I would get you a little gift from the motherland.
Well, you know, thank you very much. And I'm actually touched that you would think of me and bring this back from Italy. I mean, this thing is heavy, and you had to carry this in your luggage and everything, and this is pretty cool. I mean, I have Italian honey here.
I tasted it, and I got to tell you, it was phenomenal. And I also, as I told you, as I teased you, I actually consulted not only with our guide, but the shopkeeper, and there were a couple other people like because I was looking at a couple other go, no, you want this? I'm like, okay.
And for those listening, you didn't taste this one as it's sealed.
No, that
I don't
sealed.
Want people out there to think that you tasted the honey that you gave to me.
Personally tested.
No. But it was a fantastic. This is towards the tail end of my little trip where we went to Mount Etna. I think I'm saying it right.
Etna.
And this is a volcano that's pretty much active every 20 years. It seems like it. Time before 2001 was 1983 when it erupted, and had a chance. I even had some lava rocks. I have them here somewhere. I don't know if you're interested or not, but I brought some back in case anybody had an interest. They were actual lava rocks that I got from the gift shop. So, but it was one of those things where I had a chance to we toured the Amalfi Coast. Had a chance to drive around Rome. It's pretty cool. Makes
stops. Pretty cool.
See the Colosseum and
the Vatican
and St. Peter's Square and those are my friends on Facebook. We'll see the pictures I've actually posted, and had a chance to go to the French Riviera. It's pretty cool.
You had a nice trip.
Had a hell of a trip, dude. Started in Barcelona.
You have a nice tan as well.
Yeah, Christine said the same thing. The last day that we were kind of in transition before we booted off the boat, we kind of were up on. I was reading a book up on deck. I might have been up there for an hour or two. It's crazy.
It's great.
I walk by a light bulb, I get a tan, so it's one of those things. But we have you here, Richard, to kind of talk about this fantastic event that you do on an annual basis. And it's a popular event. It's one that has gotten notoriety. It's been recognized. And people flock to it. And let's not forget, besides the road race, you have a hell of a post-race get-together, too.
Yes, we do. We have a nice block party. We close the street. We have a DJ, and we have some food and beer and wine outside, and it's a fun afternoon in Whitman Center. It's hard to believe, Kevin, that this is our ninth annual road race. Where's it gone? I mean, it goes by pretty quick. And the beauty of it is it's the McGuigan's Pub, obviously the McGuigan's Pub annual 5K. Our ninth year, and we donate every penny that we bring in to local groups and charities. And this year we'll top $40,000 in money that we've given away.
That's fantastic.
Which is a lot of money, you know, in a small town like Whitman, to be able to raise that and give it away. And literally we give it all away. About half of it has gone to local food pantries. And, you know, over the years we've given to different groups, organizations, you know, to groups in Abington, groups in Whitman. In 2013, we thought it was fitting to make a good donation to the One Boston
right
fund.
After the marathon. Right
after the marathon. Yep. And we gave them $4,000 from our proceeds that year.
Fantastic.
We give to places like groups like the Folds of Honor, which supports deceased veterans' children to go on to college. We've given to that several years in a row. And cross-country, girls' cross-country teams and wrestling teams. And we spread around. We give to an organization called Camp Sunshine, which our youngest daughter volunteers every summer up in Maine, and it's for kids with cancer. And actually, the parents get to come with the kids for a week. And this year, Kathy is also going up with our youngest daughter to spend a week volunteering. So we've made donations to them. And we just spread it around, and it's it makes you feel really good at the end of the day that you're able to do this. And I suspect that after coming in and seeing the Whitmanites that were just here, I suspect that there could be some money going to the Shelby Fund this year, because it's just a great cause.
It is a great cause. And it's also notable to mention that your partner in crime is here with you, just kind of off mic, Kathy Rosen here, who is fantastic in her own right, also has appeared on your infamous cable show, Buzz Around Bees.
Which, by the way, is now in our second year.
Second
season. You do know that. You're the producer.
Yeah, I am the producer, the guy who,
yes.
Who post-production. What? What's the matter, Ben?
How have you not told me that you're part of Operation Save the Bees yet?
Well, he's the major part of the operation.
Man, I'm all about saving bees.
Well, you need to bring him to the next filming.
Yeah, we need someone to get stung. You don't mind, do you?
Perfect, as long as it's helping bees.
So, to talk about teasing something, and not to change the subject from Wiggins Pub 5K, we did film episode 1 of season 2, and let's just give a little hint that there were 9 million bees.
That's fantastic.
9 million bees were in that show.
We had a chance to, so during the filming, and it's in post-production, it's in right now, and it will be airing shortly, but we had a chance to see the process when the bees are here locally.
Delivered.
When they're delivered and folks are able to come and purchase, take their bees home.
That's so cool.
It's very cool.
There was 900 packages of 10,000 bees apiece. It was pretty interesting.
And Richard, of course, was able to abscond. How many? How did you get?
70,000. Seven packages.
How are they doing so far?
There's probably 140,000 bees in my backyard right now.
Oh.
Maybe more.
All right.
So I'm so jealous. That's so awesome.
Beware. And again, if you're not sure, check your local cable provider, as there are more than 30 communities, not only here in the Commonwealth, but there are 6 other states, including a penitentiary out in California, that actually subscribe to watching this show.
It's kind of crazy.
I think it's awesome.
You definitely got one more here tonight, guys. Good job.
Good. Yeah, it's on YouTube. I'll tell you what the channel is when we get off air here. So back to talking with Richard Rosen, talking with him about McGuigan's Pub, the 9th annual 5K road race coming up this Sunday, June 3rd. And starting time is 12 p.m., but you want people there a little bit early, right, to register?
Right, and they can actually pre-register on Saturday. I think they can save $5 if they pre-register on Saturday at the pub. For a few hours, the first 250 runners get a T-shirt. We generally have between 200 and 300 runners. We have had 600, if you remember correctly. I think the second year we did it, it was part of the pub series of races. It's a great course. It's certified. The weather this Sunday is supposed to be perfect for running. And then we do have that nice post-race party out in the street. Next year, where we currently have the post-race party, is going to be
a new
building, a new glass building. We're about to break ground.
Wow.
In a couple of weeks. We're going to break ground after the road race.
This is bittersweet.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll have the post-race party in the building next year, in the glass building.
You always have a plan.
We have a plan.
Talk to us about, in regards, you have folks of all ages who participate in this, right?
We have a ton of little kids. We actually, after a couple of years, we enhanced the number of brackets because we had a bracket from, like, I think it was 15 and up, but we had 10 and 11, 12-year-old kids that were running. And they pay money to run these races. Goodness. So we actually now have a category of...
Do you get 10 and under?
10 and...
And 11 to 14.
Correct.
I get it in front of me. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, well, good. I'm good because I don't have it in front of me. So I think we now have 7 or 8 different categories. So, I mean, these kids run. These little kids, it's great. And they're quick. You know, and to see some of these high school cross-country kids run these races. And then we have an over 60, right? Over 60,
yep, 60
and above.
Plus. Yeah, 50 to 59 and 60 plus.
Yeah, and we've had 70-year-olds run this race.
Fantastic.
You know, and it's just another one of those things that we talk about quite often, Kevin. It's good for the community. You know, it's just... It's good for all the people to get the money that we raise, but it's good for the town of Whitman. It's just one of those things that we do, and it's good.
And it keeps the town center vibrant as well. You always find different things to keep downtown Whitman active.
I've talked about it a million times in my life, that Whitman has something that most towns don't have, and that's a center. It's a downtown area, and it's thriving. Mm. And, you know, there are almost never any vacancies in the center.
You're not talking about Bell Tower Place, are you?
Well, Bell Tower Place never has any vacancies, which is a good thing. And, you know, if you drive that...
It's like an inside joke.
Yeah, it's the church that I renovated.
The old church that Richard actually, a marvelous idea, was able to convert into housing.
And you drive by it and you still think it's a church. I mean, it's the centerpiece of the center. And it's
and I get the name right?
You do have the name right. You're good.
I did my homework.
You did your homework while you were on vacation.
A little bit, yeah. Well, I know you well enough too, and that's I get the inside track on it. So, well, we got a couple of minutes left here. Anything else you want to make sure that you let folks know, or do you want to kind of what's the latest with McGuigan's?
Well,
anything coming up?
I was just going to tell
lobster
you
lobster roll. I teased you lobster roll. Somebody's like, oh, where can I get the best? I like McGuigan's.
You can get the best lobster roll around at McGuigan's. It's back. We also have another twist. We now have a lobster cornucopia. You got to go and I'll show you a picture. It is lobster. It's the same amount of meat that is in a lobster roll.
Okay.
Served with potato salad and coleslaw, and it's in a cone. It's in a bread cone.
I'm intrigued.
That looks like, you know, I can show you the picture on my phone.
Yeah, but
it's not going to do much for the listeners.
No, it's not.
but, I mean...
I tried that earlier when I was talking about my trip.
I heard you.
Taking 6,000 pictures while I was at. That's what I did.
That's what it looks like if you want to describe it any better.
No, I think you did it perfectly.
It's good for the bees. That's what it's good for.
So that's new at McGuigan's. I mean, that's back. That is one of our most popular things during the summer.
See, I think, and I've said this, I don't say it because Richard is a friend. I don't say it because he's one of the terrific sponsors of this radio program or an on-again, off-again
co-host.
But this is somebody who's always... Some restaurants, listen, everybody does it their own way. But there's nothing more intriguing when you walk into a restaurant and they've somehow beefed up their... Adding a couple of things. You take a few things off. You add a couple of things. It's one of those things where at least you know what to expect. You at least it's there's something new. It's not stagnant.
There's a lot of consistency, and there's also a lot of new things. And, you know, Todd, most restaurants can't sit here and say that after 8.5 years, business keeps getting better. But business keeps getting better. And what's going to be really amazing is when we open the patio at McGuigan's,
my God,
the menu is going to be entirely different. There'll be nothing.
Wait.
It's going to be two separate restaurants. There'll be nothing on that menu that's the same as McGuigan's Pub. It's going to be fun and exciting.
Do you sleep?
Yeah.
Kathy, does he sleep?
Not much.
Not enough, I can tell you that.
Folks want to find out more, McGuigan's Pub.
McGuigan'sPub.com, McGuigan'sPub.com, 781-447, I almost gave my real estate number, 7333. And you can sign up for the road race on our website.
Yeah, there's a banner
A crawl, right?
Yeah, there's a crawl. But when you come about a part of the way down the page, you'll see it in red, and you click on that.
Correct.
All the information is there as far as race. And also you have here... your race director, right?
Correct.
Paul Clark.
Paul Clark does a number of them, including he works in He's a handsome fellow.
Okay.
Does a lot of road races around. Has been completely in charge of this race since I started 9 years ago.
It keeps getting better and better.
And it keeps getting better and better. That's all you can strive for.
So keep that in mind if you are interested. Somebody who likes getting out and being active, especially in the good weather. Next Sunday, 12 o'clock is when that race will kick off. There'll be a post-race party that'll take place.
And everybody is welcome and invited. There's no admission. Just come on down and listen to the music outside and have a beer or two and hot dog and hamburger and enjoy the day.
Nothing better.
Nothing better.
Now, is the street going to be closed off or will it be open?
No,
is it...
the street will be closed.
Okay.
Washington Street is shut down for quite some time, and then as the day goes on, we open Washington Street.
Okay.
But we keep Legion Parkway closed.
Okay.
So there's no issues, and I do want to take this opportunity, I know we're coming to an end, to sincerely thank you for my gift from Italy, and, you know, that was very thoughtful.
It was when I saw it, I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, what do you get somebody who his hobby is beekeeping? And I saw it, and I'm like, this is a chance to, you know, get some honey from another part of the world. And the funny thing also was is that, and it actually dawned on me, the woman who was our tour guide, who was talking as we were driving up to Mount Etna, talked about the beekeepers and what they do and you know, with what they were doing with what they've done using the volcanic rock and replenishing, that the honey is phenomenal, supposedly in that area. So when I saw it, I'm like, it's like I struck gold.
Well, I appreciate it. And we will do a show on beekeeping soon if you'd like. We'll get a couple people in.
I'd love to, because I think it's a phenomenal. I find it fascinating. I love the whole thing. It's funny enough that we're through osmosis in watching as I'm sitting behind the camera and producing it and editing it. Somebody else who's a friend of mine who's kind of he's a couple of years behind you as far as beekeeping, and I was telling him about the beetle traps and some of the things that we learned just from the first season, you know, minting a new queen in right. one of your hives, just the little things, marking
the
a
queen.
New queen, stuff like that. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you gotta watch the series, guy.
That was pretty cool, the marking of the queen.
Very cool.
Yeah,
you know, we got lucky with that, but we got a guy like you who is great on camera, can talk, and you also have a good connection of people for us to be able to talk to with the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association. So, yes, we are going to do a show.
We will.
We will do a nice
segment. We'll do it soon. And I'll come back and co-host if, you know, bring some food. And
you don't have to bring food. It's not necessary, unless you bring the mac and cheese wedges. Or maybe a Whitman sampler, which is also a hallmark of McWiggins Pub.
Other than that, we're okay.
Well, I want to thank you both. I know you're both off to grab yourself some dinner.
Correct.
So I will look forward to talking to you soon, my friend.
Kevin, thank you.
It's always
a pleasure.
All right, hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up after the top of the hour. We are going to be speaking with some folks from the clergy in the City of Champions. We have Pastor Richard Reed, Dr. Mark Oliver. We're going to talk a little bit about adult recreational marijuana in the City of Brockton. Right here, Monday Night Talk.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Memorial Day. It's a day we go to our numerous memorials throughout this great country of ours and remember the ultimate sacrifices made. Our brave men and women have given countless lives and countless limbs so that we can enjoy our many comforts here in America. Lives and limbs were given for you, me, and everyone that calls this land home. These memorials stand year-round as constant reminders, but on Memorial Day, we beautify and remember them with flags, flowers, and families. American families that will always honor their loved ones by living their lives freely. Americans do not give one inch of your rights, freedoms, and liberties. As the saying goes, if you give them an inch, they will take a mile. If we give up anything, we dishonor the ultimate sacrifices made on our behalf. As Americans, we should expect more freedom, never anything less than we already have. Happy Memorial Day from everyone at Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hour number two is upon you. Later this hour, we will have the sports princess. Kim Delaney will be joining us. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL's new policy about kneeling during the national anthem. And knowing that Kim is somebody who loves sports, we'll even see if we can sneak in a little NBA and maybe see if we can talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup Finals, which I believe the puck drops tonight at 8 p.m.
It sure does, actually, at 8 o'clock, because we are out in Vegas tonight.
Yeah, I know. Are you wearing your...
You know I am, Kevin.
Yeah. You're lucky I let you get away with that. Normally, this is Bruins country.
This is always Bruins country, and folks that don't know, I have a Bruins Stanley Cup tattooed onto my body, so I understand this.
Okay.
Just saying, but go Knights go.
Okay. And what's even funnier is good friend of the show, Dave Gosher, former Boston Bruins radio broadcaster, BU product, actually is the TV guy for the Golden Knights. Of course, I don't think he's calling the games now. I believe it's more national broadcast that will be doing it. So
correct. NBC's got the rights to it from here. But Gosh, grew up a long time listening to him for the last couple of years. He's been great.
I'll let him know you said that.
Thank you, Kevin. That's very nice of you.
All right. So joining us right now, we have Pastor Richard Reed, and the pastor's from the North Baptist Church, mm-hmm. along with, he wants me to call him Pastor Mark.
Pastor Mark.
Yeah. But he did earn the DR, Dr.
Yes.
Mark Oliver, but Pastor Mark will call you. And your
Trinity
church is
Trinity Baptist Church in Brockton, yes.
Excellent. And we're here to talk a little bit about a conversation in regards to adult recreational marijuana. And it has become, it's now known that the clergy in the city of Brockton have, in fact, reached out to the city council as early as last week, had actually did a fantastic presentation, and Pastor Richard Reed was kind enough to forward it to me, and I had a chance to kind of look through it during vacation. I'm like, oh, wow. Wow, you did not spare the artillery. You've really got a lot of your facts in here, and it's also interesting to note that the conversation that we're talking about is, there's a concern in regards to bringing in recreational marijuana and bringing in more something that's more of a deviant, almost as though trying to bring in a casino. And you might want to kind of, Pastor Reed, if you want, kind of allude to the whole, this isn't your first dance in regards to being in opposition to something that may not be good for the community.
No, it's not the first dance at it, that's for sure. And it's very interesting that when the mayor decided to announce his plans for the marijuana businesses in Brockton, he used Destination Brockton as his slogan, which is the exact same slogan that they used to try to bring in the casino. And, it's as dangerous as the casino would have been for Brockton. And we're so thankful that many of the churches in our city decided that, you know, we need to say something. And, you know, we were there. The vote, we lost the vote just by 158.
Right. Yeah, you had, it passed 51.7%.
Oh, this one did.
We're talking about the 2016 ballot question.
Yes, yeah. No.
For approving the marijuana. But yours was, but the I believe the one for the casino, it was only like 142 votes.
Yeah.
That was the difference. And right. I think that was when the Mass Gaming Commission sat down and they were deciding, like, going, does this community really want it?
Well, that clearly spoke to them when they saw the number of clergy and a number of people from the Christian community who were against it. They, even though the vote was in favor, they said this would divide a community. We're not going to do this.
It's interesting that the questions that are being asked here are similar to a neighboring community, town of Whitman. Oddly enough, my last two guests were in here from Whitman, but I follow what goes on in communities that kind of span the city of Brockton. And they recently, their official said, okay, it was a narrow passage during the 2016 ballot question. What do our residents, do we know what our residents, do they want us to sell this? Because prior to that ballot question, there was a little bit of an uproar because folks were concerned about medical marijuana and having it, and there was an outcry. So if you get that outcry prior to the ballot question, and then, okay, so yeah, you had more, there was a higher amount that passed, but not by much. You have to find out what your residents want. Do they want there to be retail and cultivation, or just to decriminalize it?
Yeah, right.
And it came out in the end that folks just wanted to decriminalize it.
Right. Which is what the whole purpose of that 2016 ballot was about. And, of course, the wording of it was very confusing for people. Yeah. And, of course, it's a lot's being read into the ballot question, but it really was that people wanted to decriminalize it, and they wanted to allow for personal usage within the limits of how much they could have. I think it was 2 ounces now, but if you have 2.1 ounces, now that you're talking about a felony. So, but that's all it was. It wasn't for our cities and towns to go into having all these different types of retail outlets. And again, you know, Brockton, we have a medical marijuana facility. And even in the ballot question I presented to the Finance Committee of Brockton last week, include that in the ballot question we want to ban all future businesses with the exception of the existing one, because there's nothing we can do about it, but it must stay a medical marijuana facility.
Right. You know, as anything, when there's two sides that are putting forth an effort, initially we had the mayor come forward and say, yeah, this is something that I'm going to push through, legislation, let's get the city council on board, and let's figure out zoning, where we're going to put this, and then go from there and then enact it. City council is kind of, I think they put a temporary moratorium in place, in place until the end of the year. Mm. There's been an amount of money that could... They could quantify that they could be reached. I think it's the amount is upwards of $6 million a year. But is that an actual number? Is that a real number?
No. It is not a real number.
Okay.
There's no evidence. We keep asking for the evidence, and it's been said that $6 million was that magic number. Well, now the mayor's office has changed that number. It has now dropped to $3 million.
Right.
And, of course, we know one of the... deciding factors on that is that the wholesale cost of marijuana has bottomed out. It's really low now.
Yeah, it's low and possibly even getting lower because of the fact that...
Supply and demand.
So, I mean, $3 million, probably not even that, realistically.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, is depending on somebody who wants it readily available compared to somebody who, I mean, with the ballot question... You can, as an individual, grow up to 6 plants. Of course, you got to do it in a certain manner. If there's a couple of you, well, you can do up to 12 plants.
Right.
In one household. So, I mean, it could be someone doing that, or it's a matter of, you know, what do you do?
Well, based on that, 6 plants per person and up to 12 plants in the house, some... folks that are more well-versed in this than I have said, well, that should be able to supply enough marijuana to accommodate them, those two people, if it was 12 plants, for 3 months. And then, in the meantime, the plant's regrowing again, and then you get the harvest and do all that. So, you know, you don't need to go out there for the black market. You're self-sustained.
Is the black market anymore, or is it more like the gray market?
It's still a black market.
Okay.
It's at least the unofficial one.
Yeah.
Nothing for nothing.
Thank you, Ben. So talk to me about the concerns. What are the concerns with opening up the city to allowing retail sales
in the downtown corridor.
Well, the number one concern, I mean, we were talking about the casino and all of the potential social burdens that could come from that. But the number one concern, and there's a host of them for this, even worse, the casino, is the all of the evidence that speaks to when this commercialization, how it impacts the youth, how it gets into the younger community and so many different strata. And then you add on to that the reality that all the evidence is there, and it's growing evidence, that when youth are partaking in cannabis, their brains aren't developed. It affects their development up to, some studies say, up to decreasing up to 8 points on the IQ level, but prepping the brain for potential mental illness. There's so many things that are there coming out now. Sure. Why would you do this to the next generation? Why would you? All the studies are showing that wherever there are commercialization of these things, you take a certain radius around there, and the youth are indeed, they're saying, survey after survey, that they now are a part of that that recreation.
And, you know, it really comes down to is what is going to be the actual costs of having such businesses and the ready, you know, having the marijuana so readily available. I said multiple times the other night to the city councilors, this is not the marijuana of the 1970s.
No.
We're not talking about,
no,
you know, smoking a joint. We're talking about high concentrations of THC. And one group that's out there, the Smart Approaches to Marijuana, have done some studies, and here's the kicker. Our cities are doing this because they want to bring in revenue, and their studies show that for every dollar that is brought in revenue to the community, $10 is spent in societal costs. So that could be health insurance, it could be the, you know, the increases of burden on the emergency room, Denver, all those cities out in Colorado, the emergency rooms, visit rates and marijuana intoxication has skyrocketed. You know, of course, then you look at the accidents, the car insurance, and just the medical costs. It's astronomical. There's no limit to it. And for what? A couple of bucks.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and if you ask anybody in law enforcement, one of their concerns is how do they even have a test? Right. To see if somebody is a little too high to be behind the wheel.
There's no breathalyzer for it.
Right.
It's a personality thing. Some people handle it, some people don't handle it. It's really tough to find a way to scientifically prove either which way. A breathalyzer just doesn't cut it, and anything short of an on-site blood test, which is illegal by the Constitution. I mean, good question.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. And here, we're a city who's been highly concerned. There's been many pedestrians who've been hit because of distracted driving already. We got the texting and all these other things. And all the evidence is there is that all of that increases in terms of pedestrians being hit because of distracted driving.
Well, you had a rash. It was about, I would say, 3 or 4 years ago. You had a rash.
It was, I
reported those. Yeah. It seemed like every other week somebody was getting struck. Yeah. A tragic death with a young boy in roller skates.
And they're still trying to address key issues in the city in that area, building bump outs and all these different things, but it's still not going to solve the issue if you now have more distracted driving, and the studies show that that is in the increase as well.
And the distracted driving with the enhanced, I'll call it, THC, the high concentration drug, whether it be in the form of the gummy worms or, you know, some of the other more...
Right, the edibles.
Yeah, the edibles, but also some of the one that they call Scrapple or something like that. Anyway, it's like a marijuana crack, and really? It's about 85% THC. Mm-hmm. And so the response time for intoxication on that is almost instantaneous, as opposed to with alcohol, which, you know, we oppose that too. You know, it could be for some people 2 drinks, it could be some for 5 drinks, whatever it is, depending upon the person, but it takes effect over time. Whereas with this, it's almost instantaneous. So you've got them walking out of the retail shop. Hey, I just got this. I'm going to pop a couple of gummies. And then they get in their car.
Watch out.
And school's getting let out, and, you know, let your imagination take care of the rest.
Yeah.
interesting when I had the mayor here and talking with him and chatting with him, knowing that he has been a major proponent of places like High Point. Let's not forget about the elephant in the room. We are still dealing. We're still trying to wrap our head around an opioid epidemic that's taking place. While the numbers show that there's been a slight drop off, it's not solved by any means.
Right.
And there are some who will argue, and some for and against, whether it's a gateway drug or not.
Yeah.
And we've actually had it happen on these very airwaves where there have been differences of opinions whether or not.
Yeah.
But the thought here is that can it be something that be marketed as a counter to opioids?
The evidence that we're looking at, and again, one of the problems we know with all the evidence there, everyone wants to be research-based and all those things. One of the problems with the marijuana industry right now is it's indeed that. It's becoming an industry. There are those investors who have made now the industry like the tobacco industry where it's almost predatory, and so they will pay for their research and all of that. And, of course, their research is going to say there's no connection between the escalation of use and all those kind of stuff. But those who have no skin in the game regarding all of that are saying, no, the evidence says there is indeed a connection to the escalation. A significant percentage of folks who start there will not end up there. Mm. They will go beyond. And so what data are you going to look at? But I think the data that's fairer to look at are those who don't have skin in the game on that.
Agreed. And, and of course, when we think about the overall cost in Colorado, one of the things that they're finding out is having a real problem with is hiring people. In the construction industry, you have to give everybody drug tests, and marijuana includes on it. So they're having a worker shortage because they can't find anybody that is drug-free, even if it is a legal drug.
Right, and the problem also is it stays in your system longer.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I can see why that I believe it's could be around 30 days or so, right?
Depending on volume of use. But it's the same thing. I mean, you're going to pick your poison there. Do you want the guy that's going to work hard for you all day, go home and maybe have a little something to smoke to relax? Or the guy that goes home and gets absolutely plastered on alcohol because that's what he's allowed legally
How about
to
neither
have.
One?
Exactly. But unfortunately, most people need a good old escape from reality one way or the other, whatever it may be. For each individual person.
I will say this, and again, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here, and we got two great guests from the Brockton clergy. We have Pastor Richard Reed and Pastor Mark Oliver, who are here, and they're talking about they are out talking with city officials, saying, whoa, before you decide to put an ordinance in place, we need you to think, maybe even consider what the residents of Brockton, how they feel. Yeah. And I believe that you guys might even be asking, hey, can we do a ballot question here?
In the essence, that's all we're asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Let's understand that when the vote was taken 2 years ago, whenever it was, people really did not know what they were voting on. Let's make it clear. Let the community decide. That's what we're asking.
Mm-hmm. Just want a referendum.
That's it. Just want a referendum. Let's go.
And for us, again, because Brockton was one of those places that voted yes, 51.7%.
Correct.
Which is less than the 52% that the proponents are saying. It's 51.7. We have to have a ballot. It's required in the law. We can't just have our city councilors decide, well, we're going to ban all the marijuana businesses. We have to have a ballot. It has to be victorious for our position. And then the city councilors can make the ordinances that says none of these shops here. But what happens if we lose? Okay. It's possible we could lose that ballot question. And the reality is we have to accept it. However, then we count upon our city councilors and our zoning board people to make the regulations so that it is as protective as it possibly can be. Yeah. And, 1,000 feet from every school or library or the
church.
YMCA, church, any place that ministers or serves children, 1,000 feet before you can have those businesses.
Right.
In Brockton, they've already thrown out one of the requirements that they want to have, that it can't be on the street level, it has to be on the second floor,
right?
All right, now what I challenge everyone to do is take a walk through downtown Brockton with a tape measure and find out how many buildings meet the criteria.
Is it limited? How limited is it? Do you know?
How limited? I've already done it.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you. Is no. You obviously have the answer. So
there are none.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, that's now, disheartening.
If it's a thousand, if it's 1,000 feet, as we recommend.
Yeah.
If you go to 500 feet, there's a couple of them, a couple of buildings that are more than one story that could meet that criteria. The only problem is those buildings are not commercial buildings. They're residential apartments. Therefore, it won't meet the criteria. So there is no place to put seven of these in downtown Brockton as the mayor desires. Now, the city council has said, whoa, that's not the case. We're not going to allow seven downtown.
Right? Well, let me ask you guys this, and that is, one of the biggest problems that the city has been having over the past decade is not having enough funding. And again, last year was a $406 million budget for fiscal year 18. Fiscal 19, they're still working on it. I think the mayor just released his budget. It'll be up to the next week, as of next the next week or two, for the city council to kind of take a look at it, meet with the department heads. But one of the big things that we've seen over the past couple of years is not having enough funding to be able to educate, you know, the students, or the children in the city, where there's budget shortfalls. Mm-hmm. What are some of the alternatives? That the city has tried doing a power plant that has gone over too well. Mm-hmm. They talked about a casino that didn't happen. This is just the next bite at the apple. Yeah. What are some of the things that you would suggest to the city leaders to explore to be able to generate the revenue that they need to be able to offset some of the losses in their annual budgets?
How about just do the due diligence of working with the micro-enterprises, building in micro-enterprises, starting with the small businesses, investing in the small businesses. And, the problem didn't happen overnight. It's not going to go away overnight. I mean, so what about just saying, look at what can we do, understanding that, you know, yes, we're going to have to tighten our budgets. We're going to have to teach our education department all of that. Listen, you're going to have to break down your budget a little bit. But at the same time, let's start sowing in for the future instead of these quick fix. I know politicians, you know, there's this pressure because of our high anxiety folks, society. We want quick fix. They're going to have to resist that quick fix. Let's do the due diligence, build slowly, but have a plan, have a strategic plan, invest in the micro enterprise, the small businesses, and grow with the community. Invest in that. Be proactive in that. And the communities that I see who are doing that, you know what? The problem isn't going away overnight, but they are chipping away and they're beginning to balance the budget as they invest on the slow burn, on the slow growth in that way.
We got about 5 minutes left here in our segment, and it's been a fantastic segment. I appreciate both of you, you pastors coming in, talking about this issue. Is there anything we haven't touched upon, but it feels really essential, it's crucial to getting out to the listeners who are listening in the Brockton area?
Well, one of the things, of course, we know this is supposedly all about money. And does the city of Brockton need more money? Everybody will say yes. We need to find a way to do it. And I agree with Pastor Mark that, you know, small businesses is the way to do it. This was the same argument with the casino. And one of the things that happened is people said, well, you guys are just naysayers. We're not. When the casino vote went the way it did, and then when the decision was made not to have a casino there, you know, we opened and offered job training skills for people to be able to get new jobs and to get better jobs. And that's something that needs to be done now. We need to have more training for people so they can get those better jobs. But this is not a quick fix. Matter of fact, there's something new that's hanging out there that probably most of the politicians in Brockton don't know about today, but they will tomorrow when I email them. There is a pending legislation in Boston that is going to modify the host community agreement law. And the new wording at the end of it is, well, part of it is that they have to separate the funds into a separate account, which that's good. Should the feds ever come in to try and seize the funds, they won't take all the city's money. They'll just take the money that's there for marijuana because it's federally illegal. But the community can use those funds as they have agreed to an agreement. But at the end of the year, if there are money, if there's still monies in that fund, it rolls over to the next year for appropriation. But if there is a deficit, all right, this is the kicker here. If there's a deficit in the account at the end of the fiscal year, it must be raised by taxation.
Mm. Yeah.
So our state legislators are saying, you know, this thing may not fly, and if there's not enough money coming in from the marijuana businesses, mm-hmm. hey, the rest of you taxpayers, you got to pick up the difference.
Sure.
Yeah. I do subsidize business.
Yeah. I will tell you, I remember when the ballot question passed, and I had a frank conversation with the state treasurer, Deb Goldberg, and you know, there was an excitement about the whole idea here in the Commonwealth. There was a lot of uncertainty as well, because they still felt that more needed to be done to hammer out the legislation. They had to get the Cannabis Control Commission together, mm-hmm. and they had to kind of lay down the laws that communities would go by. But one of the things she said that was a hot commodity was to get a license to open a shop. The problem is there aren't a lot of communities that are welcoming it.
Right. Correct. And it's over 200 of the 351 have already banned it.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it's growing. And again, Brockton, you know, our desire and the reason we're here tonight, again, is to simply say we want a ballot question. The citizens of Brockton deserve a ballot question. They deserve the leaders that have been elected to do their job and to represent the people and give the people a voice.
That's all we're asking.
What are you hearing from your parishes? What are you hearing from the folks who attend your churches, or from your colleagues, the other clergy who you know, have folks that attend their church? And what are you hearing from those folks?
Well, on the one side, first of all, this was really dropped pretty fast. So it's still kind of still percolating. It's still going on right now, that kind of thing. But I find, whether church or a regular person in the community, that they're, first of all, they're not aware of what has happened to the cannabis. They're not aware of the difference. Right. This isn't grandfather's cannabis, all right? This is not. So they're not aware of that. And the more educated, the more informed people become of what we're talking about, let alone the marketing, the candy look-alike and all those kinds of things, that's even relatively new. And when we begin to talk about that, their eyes get wide open and say, wait, we had no idea this is what we were talking about. And then when we say, look at, not only that, a person can have their own six plants in their house. Why do we need to commercialize this when we understand people, they want to have their own? That's fine. Let them have it. But we don't need to be bringing the whole thing into the community, making Brockton a destination for this kind of business.
In my presentation, the slide that always gets the
pot leaf on the town.
Oh, no.
That was hilarious.
That was WGBH that did that.
You know, very
like,
nice.
And it's like, wow. But it's the image showing the candy lookalikes.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. I forget what they call it now. But anyway, it looks like a Kit Kat bar, but it's not.
Right. They're so similar.
And so who are they marketing this to? They're marketing this to children. Now, how many adults do you know today that go to the store and buy a container of gummy worms for themselves? I don't know any.
Right.
It's marketed to children.
Yeah.
And that is a real problem.
If folks want to find out more about the campaign, or they want to find out more about the what you guys are working on, how can they do? Do you have anything that's set up right now, whether it's social media, or if somebody wants to email you? I don't know if you have Twitter or if you have a website or just a Facebook.
Could you give your email account?
Okay.
And that way people
they can just go to our website of North Baptist Church, which is www.jesussavesinbrockton.com. And the presentation is there, and there'll be more information there over the next few weeks as we seek to educate our city councilors and make the public aware.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. And let's stay on top of this. Okay. And again, the whole idea is I try to bring in all sides.
Right. Yes.
And let everybody and ask the questions, give you an opportunity to mm-hmm. have the floor and let the folks educate themselves as to what's going on. So if in fact there is a referendum come mm-hmm. November, they can make the right decision and feel good about whatever decision it is that they make.
Great.
All right. All right. We've been speaking with Pastor Richard Reed and Pastor Mark Oliver, and to talking a little bit about adult recreational marijuana in the city of Brockton, another chapter in that conversation. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, the final segment of Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. Broken windshield? Insurance covers it. Tiny works with all insurance companies.
Hey, Dad, we work with Allstate?
Yes, we do.
How about Amica?
Yes,
how about Arbella?
Very good.
And Commerce?
Very nice.
Even Geico?
Geico, yes.
Hanover?
Hanover Insurance? Good people.
Liberty Mutual is supposed to be pretty good.
Liberty Mutual? Yes, sir.
MetLife?
MetLife, yes.
Pilgrim?
Pilgrim. I know them.
Hey, Plymouth Rock. How about Plymouth Rock?
Plymouth Rock. Excellent.
All right. Progressive, I heard. And Safety?
Safety. Safety is my friend.
And those guys at Tower Group. I thought they were tough, but they've been pretty good lately.
They should buy me lunch.
That's right. And how about USAA, the troops?
USAA is perfect.
We support the troops. We work with them all.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right. We are back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk, and Ben is going to be joining us for a couple of moments here. Ben, kind of a sports head. He, from time to time, is on the Sports Exchange. You hear Sundays from 5 to 7 o'clock.
I sure am. I even called in last night, actually. It was good times.
Good times, definitely. As I explained at the beginning of the program, we try to do, when we have like a special holiday like Memorial Day, I like having a unique segment, especially Memorial Day. Some may tell you Memorial Day is a day to, you know, open their pool or, you know, to kick back. It's the doorway to the summer. And there are others who know the reality of Memorial Day is to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, who served our country and died in preserving our freedoms.
As I've said all day, Kevin, today is a day to thank a veteran and remember a veteran.
Absolutely. Well, more so, well, Veterans Day is the day that you remember your veterans. Memorial Day is the day to remember those who died to, you know, recognize the freedoms that we have here in this country that can be sacred.
The officiality of that, yes, but every day is a good day for a veteran.
Absolutely. Now, if anybody who watched last year during the NFL season, you know, one of the one common thread, the theme that we saw, that was kind of, it was one of those things that it didn't help that our president somehow got involved and would be tweeting that he didn't like the idea, and it kind of, I think, emboldened some folks to do it more, and that is do silent protests, which would be to kneel during the national the playing of the national anthem prior to the onset of a game, you know, or doing some kind of a protest, so to speak. Well, it is the off season for the NFL, and they have decided to put together a policy where there will be penalties incurred if, in fact, you are somebody who does one of these silent protests, whether you kneel down. You should respect the national anthem and all that it entails. Now, joining us to give us some good discussion on this, we have Kate Delaney, who is the sports princess, an award-winning broadcast personality who currently hosts her own radio show on NBC Radio, NBC Sports Radio, that is, and is the author of the book Invade the Man Cave, Sports Secrets Guys Don't Share. And she's here to talk about this very topic. Kate, welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Hey, Kev, thanks. Happy to be on.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I also know that you're a bit of a puckhead, and knowing that the puck is dropping on the first game of the Stanley Cup, I'd love to get your take on the big the start of the series.
Absolutely. Sure. You know what? I can't. I'm just going to say this right from the start. I picked Vegas to win this.
Nice.
Love Vegas. I love the story. I lived in Vegas, and the whole city is embracing this team like you would not believe. And Marc-Andre Fleury getting bounced from Pittsburgh after winning three Stanley Cups.
Yep.
You could talk about his battles with Murray, but the fact that he gets picked up by Vegas and is the superstar that he is for them is brilliant.
And also knowing that I will have to say, is I thought it was going to be the last series against Tampa Bay that the Washington Caps were going to just kind of fold up like they normally do and just dry up and die. But I kind of think it's going to be this series.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Caps all throughout. I mean, I'm a Bruins fan through and through, first and foremost. But once they get eliminated, it's open season, you know? And, Kate, I am wearing my Vegas Golden Knights sweatshirt as we speak, so I'm on your side with that one all day.
Nice.
Go Knights, go.
So we'll talk a little bit more of the dynamics of the game with the puck dropping again at 8 o'clock tonight. But give me your thought on the NFL and their new policy in regards to punishing teams if their players don't stand on the sidelines.
You know, it's interesting. I think the NFL blew it 2 years ago because they kind of stepped around what was going on when Colin Kaepernick first took the knee in a preseason game, when he, as you guys know and everybody listening, when he was quarterback for San Francisco, and that ignited that Pandora's box, which then, and you mentioned it, certainly, Kevin, got fueled even worse when the president jumped into the middle of it. But they could have, I think, handled this a year and a half ago, but they didn't, because I really feel that Roger Goodell was trying to kind of step around it as the commissioner. But the bottom line is this: now that they have a policy, it's still going to be dumped back onto the teams, because they'll get a fine if somebody decides that they're not going to stand, they're going to kneel, they're going to do whatever. And then the team will ultimately have to decide if they want to issue some kind of a suspension to the player or some kind of a fine. So I think there's a gray area as to what that's going to look like, because what if there's also some other kind of protest? If you think, you know, fist in the air, but I'm standing, or something else that I do, some kind of signal. I don't know if the players will do that or not, but I don't see a player who wants to issue a protest. I don't see them just sitting quietly in the locker room and then walking out of the tunnel and getting into the middle of the game. I don't see that happening.
But I would think that, well, how do you think the players are perceiving this new policy? How do you feel it's being welcomed since it's been announced?
I think it's a mixed bag. On my show, I talked to a couple of different guys, and I think some of them, like Tyrod Taylor, who now is the new quarterback for Cleveland, he thinks it's ridiculous. He made a comment about, you know, personal freedoms and expressing your thoughts, etc. And then there are other players, I think, that are going to go along with it. And if you, like, look at the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Zimmer had said to his players, I don't want you to do this. Let's not take away from the game, because we're on a good roll here this season, etc. And they all went along with that. So I think it's going to vary from player to player and from team to team. And the Jets management said if a player decides to protest, they're going to pay the fine.
That's it. That's an interesting take. I mean,
yeah, it's we'll just pay it. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I mean, you look at a New England Patriots team where Bill Belichick, the hoodie himself, is the type of guy who I don't know if he would stand for something like that. You know, I would be curious. And it would also depend on your owner, like a Robert Kraft or maybe a Jerry Jones down in Dallas. I wonder how he would take this. I mean, I haven't seen anything in the media as to Jerry addressing this as of yet.
You know, I used to fly with the Cowboys, and I'm from the Northeast, but I'm located in Dallas now, and that's where I do my show, out of Dallas. And there's a lot of speculation. He hasn't said anything yet because initially he said that if his players didn't want to stand, he didn't want them on the team, and then he sort of peddled that back before this policy was announced. And he hasn't said anything as to whether he'd be like the Jets and will handle it if someone protests or what, but I'm thinking that he's going to want the players to just stand or stay in the locker room.
You look at the NFL, I mean, this is you're talking about a sport that I don't know if it's peaked in popularity, and there's we're going to soon see drop-off because there's controversy after controversy after controversy. You know, being up here in the Northeast, we had our own cross to bear in regards to Deflategate and how that all went down with the suspension of Tom Brady. Now we're seeing this with what happened last year during the season, where it was you were more watching what was going to happen prior to the game and not so much what was taking place in the field.
Yeah, but here's another twist to all of this. We just had announced, 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court ruling about legalizing sports gambling.
Right.
So I think there's another thing afoot that's going to change what happens with the NFL, because trust me, and they've already said this, they're embracing that. And in a couple of years, I wouldn't be stunned. I don't know how soon this would kick in, but I wouldn't be stunned, guys, if you were sitting in your seat, you could actually make a bet from your seat on the game. I'm not kidding. It's really very strange to think about this.
Isn't that wild?
I certainly know the books and the off-track betting. You can go into some of those places, and they're rearranging the deck chairs so that they're going to be able to take your bets depending on the state. And that's going to change, I think, the NFL. And I guarantee you, Goodell and everybody at BlackRock loves this because that, again, increases the interest in the NFL.
Kate, did you happen to see the over-under on someone who, maybe as a joke, decided to put $100 on the Vegas Golden Knights before the season started to win the Stanley Cup? Did you see how much that person's now going to win?
It's crazy. How much is it? It's like
$38,000. Absolute. That's mind-boggling to me, the fact that
it's damn
is
good interest, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
You can't get in a bank. You can't get that in a bank these days.
No, probably not. A Roth IRA is not going to cover that one, folks.
You're lucky if you get a 0.001%.
Seriously.
Yeah.
But one more point, too, about players kneeling and whatnot. Do we not remember 2012, I think it was, Tim Tebow? He took a knee for something he believed in, and everybody pat him on the back, said, "Hey, great job. You're protesting the right way for something you believe in." And then a few years later, Colin Kaepernick does it, and we crucify the guy. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't, but here's the other thing. If you're with a team where they're really going to hold to that, now if you're a superstar player, of course, I think the rules would be different. If you're kind of on the cut line, then is a team going to want to deal with that? I'm going to say no, and we saw that because Colin Kaepernick, certainly, you could argue about his skills, but come on, with all the injuries and we weren't yet even into the draft, he could have been picked up by somebody, but nobody was going to touch him. They didn't want to deal with that.
And he's not even in the league at the moment. He's a motivational speaker, I believe.
Yeah, but he's got it on. Yeah. I believe he has an ongoing suit right now in regards to that. He's basically being blackballed out of the league because of, you know, what his stance
all
is.
Of this, yeah. Who wants to pick that up when they just saw the kind of parade it caused at the last team? And that's the kind of pariah that will follow along with you for the rest of your career, unfortunately. And that's the risk we take.
Exactly. That's it right there. You nailed it. You're a pariah if you do that. And so now this policy and what is decided with this, with these teams, is so interesting. I'll tell you what, at least at the very beginning of the season, people who said were poo-pooing the NFL and burning their jerseys or whatever, I think they're going to watch because they're going to wait to see what happens.
Watch. They already bought two replacement jerseys before they burned that one on video. Who are you fooling?
Right. Absolutely. Again, we're speaking with Kate Delaney, the sports princess, who you can hear on NBC Sports Radio. And we're chatting with her about the NFL's new national anthem policy. Interesting enough, kind of just perusing what's on, you know, on the internet as far as stories. The Chicago Tribune, a couple of 12, 13 hours ago, actually put out a story in regards to the new anthem policy. It's basically the NFL trampling on First Amendment values. And in this, it's Darlene Glanton, who's a reporter for the Tribune. And one of the things she mentions here is in our zeal to defend our nation's greatest symbol of freedom, we have overlooked the sacrifices made for our liberty. We have forgotten what it means to be free. It's not merely enough to leave flowers and flags at the gravesites of our fallen heroes. Each of us must take a moment to reflect on their unselfish quest to uphold the ideals symbolized by our flag, liberty and justice for all. What do you think of that statement?
Well, you know, again, this is a Memorial Day, and you mentioned it. This is a Memorial Day in itself,
yeah,
where we have that policy that comes out, and then you think, what does the flag mean to you, and the anthem, and the tradition of doing it? You know, it's like my 16-year-old nephew said to me, well, he said, Aunt Kate, why do we do the anthem before all the games anyway? Right. Who started that? Why do they play the anthem? And I have to tell you, I was kind of at a loss, because I know it started as a tradition, and it was a way to honor some who had fallen on certain days.
Sure.
But to me, I'll tell you what, if I was a player, I wouldn't mess with it. Unless I would come up with some other way to be involved in the community, but that's what I would have done in the first place, and that's what I think Roger Goodell should have done. Not just gave it lip service and wear an armband or say this or say that, just really get involved and change the way all of that happened, and we wouldn't have this crazy upheaval.
Do you think there was any pressure put on the NFL and Roger Goodell by number 45 in the White House?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because of, because of the popularity of those that elected the president and how they feel about Make America Great Again, patriotic statements, he pounced on that. It was the perfect timing for it. It was sort of the perfect storm. And so, yes, there was absolutely pressure on Goodell, and I believe that's why when they had the spring meetings, they were already talking about what are we going to do, and because they also perceived that not only were they losing fans, but they were also losing faith.
See, what's crazy, though, is, I mean, there's so many things that the NFL, I mean, the Thursday night games, now they want to do more games in London. I just kind of feel like the more the NFL tampers with the product, the more disinterested, you know, fans are going to become.
Well, this is why when I mentioned legalized sports betting, I think that's a boost to the NFL.
Right.
And because we know fantasy football, and you guys know this, half the people watching have money on it in some form or are involved in a fantasy league.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who doesn't play in three or four different leagues and, you know, or have the red zone package because they want to see how their guys are doing, you know?
And honestly, I don't even play those anymore, Kevin, because it just got to be so much. It was taking away from my
basic.
All right.
Well, you're going to have to shut your microphone off because we're embracing this. No, I'm kidding.
Embrace the sports betting, folks. You're going to either make a lot of money or lose a lot of money. Either way, we all have fun, right?
Anything you want to say in closing on this, Kate?
Now, I think, like I said, I think watching the beginning of the season is going to be very interesting, and I think you're going to have some owners that are going to back the players, even if it's subtly or it's just like the Jets saying, hey, we're going to handle the fine. So they're basically giving them permission if they want to protest because we'll handle it. Mm. And then there may be some other teams that take a hard stance on it, and we'll see how that works out for them.
All right, so we got to go back to talking about Lord Stanley, this big series. What do you feel are the keys to this particular series? For Vegas to come away with it or for at least the Capitals to finally secure their cup?
I'll tell you what, we saw what, Alex Ovechkin did to to Tampa in that final game at Amalie, and he has to be on fire. And it says it's one player. That all the lines have to be able to come up with some incredible defense, not flip the puck over, and give the advantage to Vegas, because give them the power play enough, and they're going to definitely rifle it in. And I think Fleury is the big key for Vegas, as his goals against is minuscule. And if he continues down that path and is the wall that he is, it's going to be tough for even if they're skating fast and even if they're doing whatever they can do to double up around him, it's going to be really tough for the Capitals, especially if Ovechkin is not clicking on all cylinders.
See, what makes Marc-Andre Fleury so dangerous, Key, I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but he's out there having fun. He's playing the game for the love of the game, not for the paycheck. He's already made his money. That's all done and done. He's having so much fun. Every time the camera pans in on him, if you look into his mask, you see the biggest smile, ear to ear, every time. It's like a little kid playing pond hockey.
I usually don't focus on his mask. I'm just like looking at the game or grabbing something to eat in the kitchen.
Oh, don't even fool yourself, Kev. Goaltender masks are what's up. What's up?
I could give a rat's ass how happy he is. I want to know who's going to win. I mean, and probably the big thing, I mean, these two teams didn't make it here without having significant depth. How important is depth going to be for these two teams, whoever's going to end up coming out in the end?
I mean, Vegas went through their sixth goaltender of the season before Marc-Andre came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you said it. That's exactly what it's going to be. But I still think it comes down to the cliche that you always hear in any sport at this level, especially you can't turn it over. So when you can't turn it over on the ice, you can't give them the advantage by getting sloppy penalties or giving up the puck easily. Because when that happens, that's when your guard gets down and then, the advantage gets taken. It's funny, my uncle played hockey and you made those comments about the mask. His name was Bernie Parent, and he was the nemesis of Boston,
nice,
if you remember, in one of the Stanley Cups. And he told me there's always one player you fear, and he said in his career the player he feared was Bobby Orr.
That's so, right, it was.
Yeah. So I think Ovechkin is the player you fear.
Absolutely. Motivated slap shot from Ovi. Yeah, I want nothing to do with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to give you an opportunity to change your name from the Sports Princess to the Sports Nostradamus. Tell me who's going to win this series and how many games.
All right, I think it's going to be Vegas, and I'm going to say in seven.
Ooh.
I love it. Right there with you, well, Vegas and seven.
In order for the NHL to get their money's worth, I mean, they don't want this thing to go five, for crying out loud.
No, we absolutely do not want to see a sweep in the Cup final.
You know, and again, this is such a Cinderella story. You're talking about, an expansion team that has just been unstoppable.
I mean, Columbus Blue Jackets and the Nashville Predators must be so angry right now. So angry. Years.
The front office, I mean, from the moment that they were named an expansion, they were busy making trades. They didn't just stay pat when they were doing the expansion draft. They were trading left and right. I mean, they did a fantastic job in my book.
Absolutely. Kate, I have a question for you.
She might have an answer. Go ahead, ask.
I believe she might. What do you feel is the significance of the Vegas Golden Knights pregame ceremony?
Are you kidding?
You did not
ask that stupid question.
Awesomest, corniest thing that seems to be so cool in the hockey world nowadays.
And this is why the button for your mic will be in here next week.
I think it's, as somebody who lived in Vegas, it's the cheapest show in town once you're already there, because it's insane. You're just waiting for anything to happen next. Like Cirque du Soleil is going to explode right in front of you. Who knows? Celine Dion might start singing. You don't know.
Oh, jeez.
It's crazy.
Last question for me, and that I'm going to go. I'm going to deviate to the NBA. LeBron made it to his eighth finals via the Boston Celtics crapping their pants last night. Give me your thoughts on him making it to, the big series. And it looks as though right now, Golden State. I just got news in that Chris Paul's not playing. He's still dealing with that hamstring. I mean, give me your thoughts on LeBron.
I mean, does he not cement himself in history as one of the greatest players of all time? Of course, and we already knew that. Because I got to tell you guys, and for all the people listening, I was really pulling for Boston. I love what Brad Stevens has done.
Yeah.
I really love these young guys. I watched them. I talked to some of them on my show, and I was so excited for Boston. And yeah. I picked Boston. I really thought if this is going to be it, they're going to get by. And it just shows you LeBron has an extra level that kicks in for him in the playoffs, and you put him in a game seven, and I guess it doesn't matter. And he comes up with it, whatever he has to do, and especially this year, he dished the ball a lot more to a lot of his teammates, yeah. And it mattered down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's reminiscent of Jordan. It was Jordan and a bunch of guys, and LeBron yeah. was able this year. It's LeBron and a bunch of guys, and he did it without Kevin Love.
Yeah.
You know, who's still, yep. you know, sitting out because of concussion protocol.
Yep, exactly.
Well,
I heard you say the thing about Chris Paul, and Chris Paul with that hammy is really bad, and that's a shame. That's a bad blow to the Rockets, and you saw how that cost them. I don't know that they would have won Game 6, but it definitely cost them in Game 6. And now here they are without him, and that's too bad.
It would have been nice to see a different dynamic, honestly, to see... Well, I'm okay with LeBron making it in. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Boston and maybe Houston. I mean, we saw earlier in the year the games that those two teams played right down to the final seconds, for crying out loud. It was an exciting game, and I was hoping it would be on that level. But we know Boston is out of the mix now. Let's hope. I mean, Houston has had a great year, and hopefully we'll see what happens with Game 7.
That's the downside with the NBA, though, like that. You feel like every year now it's Cavs, Golden State. Looking for something new and fresh here, Kevin.
It is what it is. Well, listen, Kate, I want to thank you so much for being a fantastic guest and sharing your years of knowledge and your expertise, especially talking a little bit about the NFL and the new policy when it comes to the national anthem.
Yeah, anytime. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and
you
I
very
wanna
much.
I'll make sure I thank Mark Goldman, who's a great guy, and he's just another great guest that we're able to access through Mark. All right, so we are going to we're going to wrap the show up here, and again we thank Kate Delaney, aka the Sports Princess, for being our guest on this segment of Monday Night Talk. We'll step aside, and we'll be back next week at 6:15 p.m. Up next, I believe it's Stan and the Gang, South Shore Live, right here on 95.9 WATD. Have a great night.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.